Nobody at Barstool listens to this. It's totally fine.
Okay, perfect.
Welcome back to the Token CEO podcast. It's Wednesday, April 22nd. For anyone keeping track, the 37th day of quarantine. Oh, that was my Slack noise. Anyways, we have a special guest today. She was reticent to join, which I'll get into in a minute, but I invited our HR person. Her name is Stephanie. And I thought one thing that you wouldn't expect to hear from Barstool is an HR person talking about their job and our workplace. But I thought she was perfect. I think she's great for us and you'll get a lot out of her. So without further ado, we'll just kick it to our conversation. It's the same way you showed me. If you could fly, then you'd feel south. Up north, getting cold soon. The way it is, we're all right. Stephanie from HR, welcome to the Token CEO podcast. It's nice to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. All right, this is so funny. So anyways, the person I wanted to have on was Stephanie, who is the first and only and illustrious and important HR person at Barstool Sports. When I got to Barstool, there obviously was an HR. For a long time, we did everything ourselves, like contracts and hiring and like employee issues. And we kind of had benefits, not really. And I really felt that it was like an inner circle inside of Barstool. And I didn't really want to bring in HR because I felt like the HR person would judge us or they would create problems for me because they would say, like what this guy says is really wrong or you shouldn't do things this way. And I didn't want anyone to judge or ruin the magic that was inside of at that time HQ2. And it basically went on that way for like 3 years. I would guess about a year ago, I was like, it's time. I can't, like, in good conscience, go to another board meeting and not have an HR person. We were looking at a lot of possible acquisitions or investments and to explain that this was a company with our reputation that didn't have an HR person, I felt like was a bad look for us. And we also were getting to the point where we had so many people that it was becoming very evident that we weren't doing a good enough job taking care of those people. So enter Stephanie. So Stephanie is our first HR person. I'm very excited that she's still here, which I consider to be just a small and not minor miracle. So Stephanie, why did you come here? What in you thought this was a good thing to do?
I think I thought very innocently about it. I just thought this is a company that I'm A, familiar with, B, it's in my wheelhouse in terms of being a media company, and C, I was ultimately looking for a role where I would be the only HR person because I was looking to grow and master certain skill sets. So those were kind of the main innocent reasons. I think once I accepted the job, which I probably shouldn't even say this, but once I accepted the job is when I started to do more research about Barstool. And I was like, well, it's accepted. So I guess we're going to just see how this goes. And I had people in my life who knew Barstool. They talked to me about it. They were fans. They were stoolies. So they obviously painted it in a better light than the media probably does.
By way of background, Stephanie worked for some very big, highly regarded media companies in HR. Did the people from the more established places, did they think it was a good idea for you? Like, did you catch any flack coming here?
I didn't catch any flack outwardly to my face. I caught a lot of like passive aggressive flack for it.
Yeah. So you accept the job and then you're like, oh shit, what have I done? You're like, I'm going to go join the misogynists now. So was it different than what you thought it would be?
I would say what's different about it is that it was a lot more buttoned up than I initially thought, just in terms of like, there's already an employment lawyer for me to work with. Like, that's not somebody I have to find and develop that relationship with. So I think that was something that was different, but in a good way.
Why don't we actually take a quick step back? Like, what is HR?
I mean, HR is, it's the people function. It's the function that supports operationally the way that the business should run from a people perspective. So how is payroll processed? In terms of policies and processes, what makes sense compliance-wise and what makes sense for the organization that you're working in, because those things can differ and you have to find a middle ground where you're compliant, but you're also still running with the ethos of the brand that you work with. I don't know. I guess that's like a really shitty answer, but it's just, it's the people function. I think there's a little bit of a misconception of like HR being a policing unit. I've never saw it that way. I didn't come up in my career thinking it was supposed to be that way. And I think now with HR business partners and chief people officers having more of a seat at the table with executive leadership, I think it is becoming a more strategic function than it was even when I started out.
You guys have evolved from like the narcs to like if we were in high school, who was HR and what is HR now?
I guess like HR is the person who's like at the end of class, the person that's like, are we going to have homework tonight?
Yeah. You're like cleaning up everybody's pencils and you're like,
yeah, exactly. Exactly. Are you going to collect the homework from last week that you forgot about? Like
that's HR. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like it. So hot topic, the Barstool employee handbook. Would you like to talk about the Barstool employee handbook?
I don't know what happened before. I know there was a whole thing with the handbook and it became content. I think the most important thing is like messaging. Yes, there's a lot of jargon in there and there's a lot of like very heavy legalese that you're like, what does this even mean? When it comes to compliance, there are just things that we have to let you know. Like there's no way around it. We have to let you know this.
Yeah.
Maybe it's funny to you. Like it doesn't matter. Like we have to let you know. So I don't know what happened previously.
Oh, I think what happened previously is we rolled out a handbook. The Tiernan guys were like, time for a handbook. And I was like, you got it, guys. I can't wait to write the handbook. So I wrote the handbook, sent it out to everyone. And in their defense, I think I did drop the handbook at like 4:45 on a Friday afternoon.
Okay.
And then K Marco basically like dissected every single section of the handbook. And in fairness, there was a lot of common sense. Like there are some things that are important in a handbook. How do you treat other people? How do you treat the information that you have access to? How do you be a good person at work? But then there were things like we used a template and it was like employees can't be using social media or blog at work. And basically everyone was like, all we do is blog or use social media. So this is going to be a problem.
Think of the handbook as just it's policies and it's guidelines, but given the nature of our business, there may be internal policies that just operate a little bit differently than the concrete language in the handbook.
Mm-hmm. So do you like your job?
I do. I think what's interesting about Barstool is that I always tell candidates this when I'm talking to them and they're like, what is the culture like, which is code for like, is it how I think it is? Yeah. Like, is it a frat house basement? Like, is it like that when you work there? And I'm like, okay. So I usually tell people that the interesting thing about Barstool is that even if you have a media background, you can come to Barstool and it's not like any other media company.
What are the type of candidates who you see come through the door that you can tell are total fits or not fits at all?
I think it depends on how much they know about Barstool. There's a lot of people that they know what Barstool is at a very superficial level. So they put in their application, we reach out to talk to them, they will have a good conversation, and then later on they'll reach out and say, well, I've done some research and I have like concerns. Those people obviously are not gonna work out, because if you're already prejudging the company without getting to know the people in the interview process or getting to know anything about the role or the structure of the organization, then it's just not gonna work out. You're not really giving it a fair chance. Like this is obviously a very successful business. Obviously press is press, good or bad. You have to be open and willing to take the risk and actually learn more about the organization before you make that assessment. And I think people who are like a little too extreme about how much they love Barstool can also be a little problematic just because there does need to be a little bit of a separation for you to be successful.
Yeah,
like you have to find the balance of being a fan and doing the job.
Yeah. You can't like stare at Big Cat all day. Is there anything, Stephanie, that you think we could be doing better as a company or that we're not good at that you think we have to improve?
Just from like an employee experience perspective, I think people tend to feel a little disconnected or in silos sometimes. So I think we can probably be better at getting people together. Like we have the holiday party. There was a summer party, which probably isn't going to happen this year, but like those two events are like big events that happen and get everybody in one place. But because there aren't enough smaller events, whether it's a seminar, a workshop, a happy hour, because those don't exist, everyone just kind of gets into their little clique when those events do happen. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that came up in the performance review process is that people want to know more people. So I think we could be better at that. I actually had like a really big employee experience plan, which is like meaningless now because of everything that's happening. But I mean, I think we can still get there. And I think we can do things that are impactful.
Okay, I love that. That's good feedback. Let's talk about the Barstool workplace and let's talk about coronavirus. So obviously no one's at work right now and we're doing everything virtually, but at some point, and hopefully some point soon, we're going to come back. So tell us how you're thinking about that.
So I think just like very clear, stringent guidelines on social distancing in the office when it comes to etiquette at your own desk. I think this is probably going to be a Herculean ask, but we're going to need to ask people to start clearing off their desks so that we can get cleaning crews to actually deep clean where they're sitting. Some people have so much stuff on their desks that even if we had a deep clean, they would just be cleaning around that stuff and it actually wouldn't really be super effective. I think our plan of expanding the office probably doesn't work anymore, given that we need to make sure people continue to stay as far apart as possible. I think the other thing that's important is rethinking our door handles in the office, which we have been. Right now, every time you enter the bathroom, you have to touch the door handle, which is like pre-COVID, that was like, okay, whatever. I mean, it was dirty, but nobody really cared, right? Now we're really going to have to rethink how the bathroom doors, the meeting room doors, how are those doors functioning? Is it an installation that needs to happen where the door can be opened without touching?
Is there anything that you think we won't be doing that bit, like, what do you think about the temperature taking, all that kind of stuff? Like, I don't see us doing that, but do you see us doing that? What do you think?
I don't know about the temperature taking. I think temperature is one thing, but there are lots of people that get, well, you know, I should probably not, I'm not a doctor. There's just a lot with taking temperatures in the office that is a violation to employees because it's technically a medical assessment. So I can't just go up to an employee and say, hey, here's a thermometer. I need to check your temperature because you like coughed a little bit back there. Can I just see what's going on? I can't do that. I'm an HR person. I don't have a medical degree. I've never conducted a physical for anyone. Companies that are doing that are really going to need to be mindful of how they're doing it. And they're going to need to be open to the fact that if it's mandated versus something that's recommended, there are going to be issues with that, right? So there are privacy issues that need to be considered when it comes to that type of stuff. I think what we need to drive home is if you are not feeling well, do not come into work. Because I think a lot of people may not feel well for like 1 or 2 days, and then they think it's okay to come back to work. And like those days are gone. We'll be providing masks and stuff like that. So I think that employees wanting to wear those in the office can feel free to do that. I think we just need to encourage cleanliness. I don't think that we need to do temperature checks. I think that can get dicey. And I want to be really careful about how that's done if it's something that we have to do down the line. Yeah. And then the other thing is just making sure that you're going to be in a situation where employees are going to be like, I'm so ready to go to work. I've like been dying for this. I hate working from home, but there's still going to be employees that are not feeling safe and not wanting to go into the office. And if they're asking for those accommodations, we have to have those good faith dialogues with them.
That makes sense. Most other companies like us are actually just doing layoffs. The Stephanies of the world are just doing layoffs. I actually think that that makes your job a little bit rare, where like we're all like focusing on fighting for Barstool and making sure Barstool sees this through and that we're, you know, eking out every dollar we can and making every piece of great content that we can and doing everything possible to preserve the money so that everyone still has a job. Everyone slid into layoffs and furloughs just very, very fast. And I understand that if you're a company that, you know, in the case of Penn National, like the government's ordered their business shut down. Like there's nothing they can do about that. They have to move into that place. But I think one of the things that was really hard to see in the media community is just how fragile it all is. Like how quickly that when the ad dollars stopped, it was over. What immediately happened for the HR people was moving to layoffs and furloughs and separation agreements and all that kind of stuff. And it actually, we've kind of tried to go the exact opposite end of that route.
Yeah. And even in that, like, HR employees themselves have been laid off too, which is, this is like a fairly critical time for HR people in general. So I think it's hard. Obviously, if you're reducing your workforce, you're going to need less HR people. So I think that can get tricky. The other thing is trying to preserve your dollars. And obviously, you want to keep your businesses running. And I see why the layoffs are kind of the easiest solution, given salaries are the most expensive component, or most of the time, the most expensive component. But I do think that once things start to go back to a relative, or, you know, a different type of normalcy, that some of those roles are going to need to start being filled again. Like, you're going to need to start bringing those people back in the door. So I think that is going to get tricky down the line when you actually need to start bringing those roles back into the organization.
It's chaotic.
It really is. It's definitely a knee-jerk reaction.
Yep. Okay, so Stephanie, that was truly delightful. I'm so glad you came on. Can you give us one fucking good thing?
Oh, fuck. Okay. One good thing is that my sister and I live together and we have not killed each other yet in this quarantine.
Okay, that is a positive. Way to go. Give us your choice.
Pink and White by Frank Ocean.
And do you have a reason why? Do you want to share?
Oh, why? Okay, sorry. So I don't know. I just went with something that was like calm. And also, it's Frank Ocean, and it's just a good vibe.
I love that. All right, thank you so much for coming on. You were great. That was awesome. It's all downhill from here. Big shout out to Stephanie. I think that she was great. I know she was nervous to do that, but you can tell why she's our HR person. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Token CEO podcast. Leave us a review, and please give us a rating. If you want, leave a voicemail at 440-462-1729. We'll do another voicemail episode soon. I'm at EKA Nardini, and we're at Token CEO on Twitter and Instagram. You can also find us on Facebook and LinkedIn. And that's it. You showed me love.